Welcome to Trial Lawyer Talk. I'm Scott Glovsky, and I'm your host for this podcast where we speak with some of the best trial lawyers in the United States. This is a storytelling podcast, so we have great lawyers tell great stories from cases that had a profound impact on them. So let's get started. Very happy to be here today, sitting across the table from a phenomenal lawyer, phenomenal human being, and a dear, dear friend, John Naseby from Connecticut. John is a phenomenal trial lawyer who tries cases all over the country and has taught lawyers for many, many years, and it's my honor to be sitting with you, John. Thanks for joining us.
Scott, thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here with you today.
John, can you share with us the story of a case that's had a profound impact on you?
Sure. Over the past 12 to 18 months, I've had the privilege of representing a young woman who was involved in a tractor-trailer crash where she lost both of her son, who was 9 years old, and her daughter, who was three, as well as her fiancé. And she was left with a lot of challenges in life, both emotionally and physically, as a result of the wreck herself. And she's just such a remarkable human being who has literally had to pick up the pieces of her life and try to put some semblance of a life back together. And I have so much respect for her. And what she's gone through and what she continues to go through on a daily basis.
So how did you go about discovering the story of the case?
Well, we were very fortunate. Early on, the attorney that was representing, and we'll use the name Mary because I don't know if she'd want people to know. She's a very private person. We'll use Mary as her name. And we got to meet Mary, and we went to her apartment, and we got to see where the children slept, the dirty clothes from her fiancé that hadn't been moved. She was almost paralyzed with how she could interact, and she couldn't move past where she was with respect to the pain that she was in. And you know, the thing that I remember the most is that in the bathtub, as you walked in, you could look into the tub and you could see all the toys of her three-year-old son, David, that were still in the tub, and the little potty training seat that was there, and the salamanders behind the refrigerator that belonged to her daughter, Samantha. And just the struggle and what such dignity and grace that she was able to meet each day. And we had the opportunity through her to meet her family and to learn who they were and what that relationship was for them as a family.
How did you go about doing that?
Well, we used what's known as a reenactment, as I know you're well aware, Scott, and we set some scenes of what their life was like together as a family. And one scene that comes to mind that was so powerful for us to see was what their morning was like the day before they left. It was a typical Saturday morning at the Leary house, and they were playing music, and Mary, as she typically does, was in the kitchen making pancakes for the children and her fiancé, David. And she was cooking, and you could smell the grits cooking in the kitchen, and you could smell fresh bacon as it wafted through the living room. And David was in bed still watching TV, and their son was cuddled in with them, and then her daughter was also in the same bed, getting ready to start today. They were going to go apple picking. And then they came out into the kitchen, and they were eating breakfast, and her favorite song by Bruno Mars came on the radio, and she's dancing with her fiancé, and their little boy gets in between the two of them and dances, because he's, "I want to dance with mommy, I want to dance with mommy." And just to sit there and see the relationships that they had and how special that was to them was really helpful to understand at least a little bit of what her loss is.
And what is your connection to this story? How did you get connected?
You know, it's hard not, when you see somebody go through such a tragic, life-changing experience, not to visualize your own family and how precious the time is. And she would always say to me, you know, "No matter what your kids do or say, cherish that time, because you never know when it could be gone." And it was very appropriate for her to share that with me, because during the course of my representation of her, I came down with cancer, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 glottis cancer, and through the process I was able to really reflect and appreciate you know, how precious life is. And I was so thankful at that time that I was going to have the opportunity to make sure everybody in my life that I cared about would truly know how I felt in the event that I was going to die. And I couldn't help but, my heart breaks for her that she never had that opportunity with her children. Although I know that they know, and I know that they know everything that she did for them.
And as I look at you, I can see your pain and your fear.
Yeah, no, it's a real fear. I mean, the good news for me is, you know, I'm in remission and I'm on the other side of the cancer. It's in the rearview mirror at this point. But, and in reflection, you know, it was a real gift for me to have that experience, because it allows me to know and really relate on a very small level of what that thought process is for somebody. Obviously, hopefully we'll never know what it's like to have experienced the loss that she suffered. And I'm certain I wouldn't have the dignity and the grace to carry on and to make the differences that she's made. You know, for example, Scott, she's the type of person who, on her daughter's birthday, she asks her friends and associates and us, her legal team, to pay it forward, to just go out and do a random act of kindness for somebody else. Maybe that's buying somebody a coffee who's behind you at Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe that's doing something extra nice for somebody that you work with on a daily basis. But those are the things that she wanted to do to honor the memory of her daughter.
John, how have you dealt with your fear? I mean, obviously you've faced death head on. And how do you keep on with your practice, keep on giving so much to other people? How did you deal with that?
You know, there's a comfort in helping others, and there's a sense of purpose. And I love what I do. I love helping people. I love speaking for people. I love making sure that they're treated fair for what's happened to them. And I'm thankful to be able to keep doing that.
John, how has this case impacted you?
You know, it's touched me on a lot of different levels, Scott. It's made me appreciate how precious time is, and that how due to no fault of our own or for unforeseen circumstances, all those things can change in a moment's notice. It's made me really appreciate how fortunate I am, both professionally and personally, in that I've got a lovely family and I get to come home to them every day. And I get to do what I do. And with respect to Mary and her situation, I feel really at peace with the fact that we were able to provide her with the type of financial resources that she will never have to worry about anything but getting as good as she can get and getting to where she needs to be so she can carry on in life. And that, to me, is really one of the greatest gifts and one of the things that's really touched me deeply with respect to the practice of law.
What do you want it to say on your tombstone?
He cared.
What are the three most important things to you in life?
To be of service, hope, and compassion.
What are three things about you that you hide from other people?
You know, I don't know if I can really put my finger on three things that I hide from other people. I think I don't like to be in the spotlight. I think I tease the people that I'm the closest with, because I care about them the most, and that's just my way. But I really don't have anything else that comes to mind.
So when you approach Mary's story, how were you preparing to tell the story?
You know, Scott, it was really interesting, and we spent a lot of time discovering what Mary's story was and whose eyes we wanted to tell the story through, and the different people that we wanted to tell it through. We wanted to tell it, you know, through the eyes of her 3-year-old, through the eyes of her 7-year-old, through her eyes. We wanted to tell it through the eyes of the tractor trailer driver who happened to be listening to a football game on a new satellite radio that he had installed in his truck and was distracted, was caught up in the emotion of the football game and never stepped on his brakes before he obliterated the car that they were in. And in order for us to do that, we spent a lot of time learning who each of those people were and how profound the impact of the events that happened that day were on all of these people, even the company that employed the truck driver and the truck driver himself. And, you know, this was a life-altering experience. You know, nobody to the extent to what poor Mary is going to live with for the rest of her life. But the other people have a lot of stuff that they're going to have to carry around for the rest of their life too. And we wanted to understand that because we felt that it was really important to allow us to put the truth to Mary's story through those people and through their eyes.
How else has this case affected you?
Well, I've heeded Mary's advice, and you know, I try not to take my kids for granted. I try not to take my wife for granted. I try to be very thankful for all that I have and how fortunate I am to have the friends that I have, to know good people like you, and what a privilege it is to be affiliated and work with lawyers like yourself and other lawyers that really care about what they're doing and are willing to make sacrifices in order to really, really understand what their clients are going through and being able to be a conduit to tell that story so they can get on to a better place.
Well, you're a star trial lawyer and successful, and you know, you must not have any struggles or challenges or problems.
And as I know you know, we all struggle every day. I think when you stop struggling, you've really stopped living. I think part of being real and being a human being is you know, everybody has their own struggles. Often self-inflicted, but if you can be in the moment and appreciate and feel everything that's around you, I think you can be a better person. I think you can be a better lawyer, and I think you can be of better service to others and yourself.
Do you think this concept of the struggle has to do with the trial of a lawsuit?
Yeah, I think the trial of a lawsuit is a struggle. It's the internal struggle of what the client has been through, what they continue to go through, and how we can best provide them with some form of closure or self-reflection that allows them to move forward. Obviously, we don't have the power to change what's happened or to give them what they've lost. We could never give that back. But we can provide them with resources to move forward. And to me, the biggest gift is after either it's a trial, a mediation, an arbitration, or a successful settlement that resolves the financial conflict, which is all that we can ask. We can't ask for juries to give our clients back what they've lost, their physical health, their mental health, is to see in the eyes of the client the sense of validation and relief that somebody listened, felt, and understood what they lost.
Well, John, I often get emails from young lawyers asking for advice on what they can do to grow as a lawyer and learn. What advice do you have for young lawyers out there?
I think it's really important as a young lawyer to take the time to explore who you are and to get in contact with a group of people who can help you accomplish that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be a certain set of lawyers, because to some degree, a certain set of lawyers could probably make you worse than you are before you started down the path to be a lawyer. But you need to be, again, amongst like-minded people that are willing to go through the struggle to discover their story and to know who they are and to use that as the jumping off point so you can truly understand and appreciate who the people are that you're going to serve and why you're serving those your clients. And that's truly the look that you'll get in return from the clients, the what you see in their face or the tears in their eyes or the hug that you'll get is the biggest reward that you'll get. And if you get that, you'll be ahead of 75 to 80% of the other lawyers that practice law in the United States of America. And if there's a few places you can go to do that. You can seek out lawyers like Scott. You know, there's a place called the Trial Lawyers College, which provides a learning experience on how to get there. And just be engaged and never give up, never quit, never quit.
John, I want to thank you for being with us today. I want to thank you for being the friend that, when I'm going through struggles, always seems to be there. It was always a text or a call from you out of the blue when I need it, and that is, I'm so grateful for that. And to have friends like you who are real, who are there, and who are loving and supportive and get you, I'm very, very appreciative. And I'm so glad to be sitting here with you, looking at you, happy and healthy and strong, and listening to your wisdom and knowing that you're continuing to do all the phenomenal things that you do for your clients, for your students, for your family, for your friends. So thank you so much for all of that, for being with us today.
Thank you, Scott, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today for Trial Lawyer Talk. If you like the show, I'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good review on iTunes, and I'd love to get your feedback. You can reach me at www.scottglovsky.com. That's scottglovsky.com. And I'd love to hear your feedback. You can also check out the book that I published called Fighting Health Insurance Denials, A Primer for Lawyers. That's on Amazon. I put the book together based on 20 years of suing health insurance companies for denying medical care to people, and it provides a general outline of how to fight health insurance denials. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.